Welcome to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, and I want to continue on today about slain in the spirit. Want to bring you back or go back to what possibly could be the actual beginning of this phenomenon called slain in the spirit. Someone named Alan Morrison, and I don't know this pronunciation exactly, but it's Diacrises Publications in England, he discusses this phenomenon concerning the origin of the slain in the spirit manifestation. Here's what he wrote. He said, if there is no support for this experience as a bona fide Christian practice, then how are we to identify it? What is its true origin? Well, the phenomenon can be traced back even earlier than the beginnings of Pentecostalism at the turn of this century. One of the earliest and most notorious advocates of this experience was an itinerant preacher in the so-called holiness movement, Maria Woodworth Eder, and she lived from 1844 to 1924, who also gained a reputation for falsely prophesying that San Francisco would be destroyed by an earthquake in 1890. Now, in her preaching in the 1880s, she advocated a religious experience which she called the power. And she would often go into a trance during the services, standing with her hands raised in the air for more than an hour. Well, she became nicknamed, she started being called the trance evangelist and even the voodoo priestess. She was often accused of hypnotizing people. And here, according to Morrison, is where we come to the very crux of the slain in the spirit phenomenon. Morrison goes on to say that what Woodworth Eder had discovered was the ancient art of hypnotism, popularized almost a century earlier by Anton Mesmer. Now, Anton Mesmer was the father of hypnotism, or mesmerism, as it is also known, and an occultic faith healer. Morrison quotes one researcher who says the phenomena that are now defined as hypnotic emerged from the faith healing activities of Mesmer at the turn of the 18th and the 19th centuries. Now, one of Mesmer's famous healing sessions is described in another book on the occult. Mesmer marched about majestically in a pale lilac robe, passing his hands over the patient's bodies or touching them with a long iron wand. The results were varied. Some patients felt nothing at all. Some felt as if insects were crawling over them. Others were seized with hysterical laughter, convulsions, or fits of hiccups. Some went into raving delirium, which was called the crises, and was considered extremely healthful. Healthful. Can you believe that? Well, the real significance of Mesmer's sessions was best understood by his contemporaries. The King of France in 1784 ordered two respected bodies, the Academy of Science and the Royal Society of Medicine, to examine Mesmer's claims. Among the highlights of this most discerning review were the following remarks. That man can act upon man at any time and almost at will by striking his imagination. That the simplest gestures and signs can have the most powerful effects, and that the action of man upon the imagination may be reduced to an art and conducted with method upon subjects who have faith. Morrison drew the following conclusion from his research. Well, just as the Western psychologists are proffering ancient shamanistic practices in a guise which is more palatable to, you know, to Westerners, so the professing Christian churches which peddle religious feigning have simply made the procession trance state of shamanism more readily acceptable to the undiscerning sheep who attend their heated meetings. These are the true origins of the strange phenomena which are being so widely reported today and which are bringing the gospel and the Church of Jesus Christ into so much disrepute. And that's really exactly what's happening. And I can see how people, you know, they can get caught up in the psyche of it all. You know, that they start listening to what, so many of what these preachers say, and they listen to them, and they get so excited, and the music's exciting, the preacher's all getting excited and starting to yell, and everything's just building up and building up and building up until it becomes, you know, almost like a hypnotic state. And I've seen this. I've seen it. Matter of fact, when I was a member of the Assembly of God denomination, I got caught up so many times in services and in conferences and in crusades. You know, one thing the Pentecostals were very good at, and that was music. They could get the music going and get the, what we used to say, the spirit flowing. And, boy, you could get caught up and you almost become hypnotized by some of the things that are done and said. And I can see how that can very easily happen to where you just get so caught up in things that, you know, you just don't know what else to say and what else to do. You just become a part of everything that's going on around you. And I think that's what's really honestly happening. It's easy. It's really easy to get caught up in that kind of stuff. I think it's sad, but I also believe that it, truly does happen, and it's happening all over, you know, actually, all over the country and the world. The Pentecostals, as an example, are real big about going over into Africa and different parts of the world, and, They get these people so psyched up, and because they're hungry for the gospel over there in these countries. Trust me. Believe me. They are so hungry for the gospel. These guys will go over there and get them all hyped up, and they'll believe anything they say. It's amazing. You know, I've always said that primarily a person who has slain the spirit is someone who is being prayed for, and they say the power of the Holy Spirit comes over them, and they fall to the floor, you know. I've seen it where, like I said, most of the time they do lay quietly, but there's times when they get crazy, just plain crazy. You know, I don't know what to think about, what are we going to do to get people to see what's real and what's not real in today? Things have gotten so far out of hand that, I'm not sure, where it's going to stop. It's got to stop, or the, you know, Lord's going to come back, and so many people are going to be lost because they're so confused. They're so confused. They don't know what's going on. They just don't have a clue. It's sad. You know, I believe personally that the Holy Spirit is our helper. Just like the Lord said, just like Jesus said, He's to lift us up, to give us help. He's to be a comforter and a guide. He's to be our spiritual helpmeet, so to speak. He's not to throw us. He's not there to throw us down and make us unconscious or make us jump around like a, you know, loony bin, shouting and acting like a nutcase. I'm not saying that these activities are of Satan, but I am saying that they are a man, and I guess you have to, I guess really what you have to do is, I guess I just have to be more honest than that is what I have to do. If they're not of the Lord, then they have to be of Satan, because I believe there's two forces we can follow. We can follow the Lord, or we can follow Satan. Now, a lot of times we'll say, I'm not a follower of Satan. In the sense of that word, no, you're not. But if you're not following the Lord, and you're allowing other things to control you and control your mind and your thoughts and your beliefs, well, those other things are actually works of the devil that you're not aware of, because there's only two powers. It's a spiritual battle, people. Good and evil. God and the devil. Those are only two forces out there. So many times we want to attribute it to man and say, well, it's just, it's us. No, you know, yeah, we're doing it. But who's the controller that put those thoughts in our minds? Who are we not so much listening to, but who are we not listening to? We're not listening to God. We're allowing beliefs and thoughts that come from Satan to enter our minds because we're not following God. And I believe that's what's happening with the slain in the spirit phenomenon, is that so many people are just so caught up in everything that they can't, you know, they just can't, see the forest for the trees, so to speak. You know, I really believe that. You know, Satan will use man's wants and wishes to get his way. And he knows so much about how we think. When Satan knows a person thinks this way, he'll naturally tell this person that's exactly what they should believe. That's going to be that little whispering voice in your head telling you something, and you can't discern between who's speaking, God or the evil one. You know, he'll tell a person they're right on, and that person will think the confirmation comes from God when actually it was Satan himself whispering to them, because they're not listening. They're not in God's Word. They're not planted in the Word. They don't have discernment. A common mistake in many people's lives, I should say, as Satan is such a deceiver and he's good at it. They don't believe that. They just don't believe how good he can be at deceiving people. Do not think for one second Satan will not work on a blood-bought Christian. Believe me, he will work on you and deceive you. As Satan will attack the believer more than the unbeliever. With the unbeliever, he's nothing to lose. With the believer, he's got your soul to lose, and he don't want to. Remember, he even tempted the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He doesn't have to convince the unbeliever of anything. He already got them eaten out of his hand, folks. That's how it works. Satan's out there working with so many people, putting so many false thoughts in their heads. You know, it's just terrible bad about all the stuff that people believe. You got folks like, you know, Rodney Howard Brown that talks about holy laughter. You laugh until you pass out darn near. He talks about being the Holy Ghost bartender and how he gets you drunk in the spirit. What do you mean drunk in the spirit? If you're drunk, you can't think straight. It's just absurd. It's just absurd. Benny Hinn waves his coat and 100 to 200 people will fall all over at the same time. I mean, folks, there's got to be a change. There's got to be a change. I know that the Holy Ghost can do anything, but we have to be able to discern between truth and false. And if you can't, then it's time to ask for help. There's a lot of good things to teach you. There's a Water Around the Altar is a great, I believe that's the name of it, a book on discernment and how to learn to discern from God's Word and to realize what's going on. The Bible is there. It's there to help you. It's there to teach you, but you got to want to know the truth. And trust me, 90%, I believe, or more of this slain in the spirit stuff is false. I've seen it, experienced it in my own life. Seen it in the church that I was with. I was very active in, and it's a sad mess. It just is a sad, sad mess. And folks, it's time to wake up. It really is time to wake up. You know, I don't know what more I can tell you about it. We went over in my stumbling, fumbling ways, explained to you the scriptures that they used, which are not correct, and shown you examples in the Bible about how what's real and what's not real. Trust me, the Bible tells the truth. Use the Bible to know the truth. You know, the Lord will work with you. The Holy Ghost is here to help you, to be your helpmate. In the sense of a helper, different than your helpmeet with your wife, your woman, but he is here to be your helper. The Lord said he would send him, and he did. And he's here to help you to understand what's real, what's not, how to discern between false and reality. So glad you was here. Glad we could share all this with you the last 3 days. God bless you. I hope you learned something, and we'll see you again tomorrow. We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, you know, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do, and we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to, you know, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, CAMPPOINT, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.